This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's a Monday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We've got Ray Fittipaldo on. We're going to break a few things down. Just how ready are the Steelers after their preseason run is over for the regular season as they take on the San Francisco 49ers in 2 weeks? We'll address the Kevin Dotson trade where the Steelers traded him away for draft capital and what that actually means for the Steelers offensive line. And we'll go over Ray Fittipaldo's final 53-man roster projection as the Steelers' cuts are Tuesday, August 29th. Again, I'm your host, Chris Carter. It's the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo, our esteemed Steelers beat writer here with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We thank everyone for tuning in, whether you're doing so on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as all of our content that comes out here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. Let me tell you about Mike's Beer Bar. It's my favorite place to go on the North Shore because you could go there whether you're in for a Steelers, Pirates, or Pitt game on the North Shore. Mike's Beer Bar is a great location right across the street from PNC Park and has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options with over 20 televisions where you can catch all your NFL, college football, Pirates, Penguins, Riverhounds, Premier League, any action that you want in sports. Mike's is going to have it for you there. And to enjoy it with that, you have over 500 different available beers, 300 of them being local beers and 80 of them being local beers on tap. Head over to Mike's Beer Bar. We'll have more on them later here. Ray, wanted to talk to you about the Steelers now that preseason is over and we can start actually looking towards the season, even though it's still 2 weeks away here. But we're looking at how the Steelers played in preseason. And I want to focus even more on the offense or so, because the defense was always, you know, I think everyone was kind of confident the defense was going to be, if not a great unit, a very good unit. But the offense, especially the first team offense, 5 drives, 5 touchdowns, Kenny Pickett looking efficient. Ray, do you look at this as something that is translatable into the regular season? Because there are those out there that are saying, well, you know what? The Buccaneers and Falcons, they had their second teams out there. That wasn't, that won't work against the 49ers. Is this something you see that leads to results in the regular season?
I think so. I think you have to be, take it with a grain of salt for a little bit for what you mentioned, you know, both the Buccaneers and the Falcons didn't play their starters, but I saw it in practice every day up at Latrobe, Chris, and I know you did as well. They were efficient up there. They held their own against the Steelers defense for a lot of training camp, a little bit of a slow start up there, but really from that second week on, I thought the first team offense was really good in training camp too. So yes, I do think this will, it can translate to the regular season. Listen, is it going to happen in the 49ers game, one of the best defenses in the NFL? I don't know. You still might have to find a way to win a close game there. But I think on the whole, when you look at it from the season, and what Matt Canada said on Friday when he talked to the media, excuse me, on Saturday. More experience up front. They're much better in that regard. And you have guys like George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren. All those guys are more comfortable and make them play. So when you add it all up, yeah, I do think we're going to see a better offense this season. But, of course, we got to wait to see what happens. And we're going to see what happens 2 weeks from now with that 49ers game.
I agree. I thought this was an interesting take that came out late. I believe it was late Sunday night from Lewis Riddick of ESPN, former Pittman himself. And he said people who are saying he's doing it against the twos as a tactic of taking down the efficiency and quality of technique that a player plays with is a surefire way of telling you that not to understand the nuance of the game and that you're in it and that you have an inability to recognize quality, clean execution in that particular exposure. Basically saying that, like, if someone's minimizing what Kenny Pickett and what people are doing, even though it's preseason, they're not understanding what's being taught here. And I think that's the bottom line here, Ray, is that, and I've said this a few times, it's not that Kenny Pickett's throwing touchdowns, just that he's throwing touchdowns or just that the Steelers are scoring touchdowns. It's the process of how they're doing it, because you look at Kenny Pickett's throws that he's making. These aren't, you know, bumbling throws or wide open guys that he rolled out of the pocket and was just like, oh, he's wide open, I'm going to throw it to him. They were on schedule, on time, within the concept of a play, well executed, well timed. Like, that is exactly what you practiced for to get those results, and not as much of a scramble drill where it was improvised there. I think that is the most impressive part about this, is that these are actual clean plays that the Steelers were getting off, and it looked almost routine with how well they were getting them off.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very clean preseason for the Steelers. You go back and look, you know, that first 10-play drive against the Buccaneers, they converted 2 third downs. They were very efficient on third downs in the preseason under Kenny Pickett. Flawless, really, when you take a look at it. So that's another reason why I think it's translatable. If you want to flip it, Chris, and you want to say what if, I mean, let's bring that up. What happens in the 49ers game on September 10th where you get a 3-and-out? How are you going to react to that adversity? You know, what do you have to clean up on the sidelines? What adjustments do you have to make? First, one thing you could take a look at here, and it's not a criticism at all, but it's just, how will you handle that adversity? How will you adjust on the sidelines? Because they really didn't face any of that in the preseason. So, you know, everything is positive now. We know it's not going to be that easy once the regular season gets here. But again, with the weapons that Kenny Pickett has at his disposal, with Matt Canada seemingly being on the same page with his players now, with them having an identity, a team identity, you know, I think it's going to be a much different start to 2023 than it was in 2022.
I think so as well. One thing, you know, that I kind of think back to is that it didn't matter if the Steelers were playing against the twos or whoever last preseason, they weren't moving the ball like this. You know, Mitch Trubisky and that offense were levels behind this. And I think that's where I look at this. It's like, if nothing else, this offense is just going to be that much better than they were last year, which is all anyone's been looking for. But I think what the real question is, how much better will they be? Will they be a team that can be, you know, if they're scoring as efficiently as they were in the preseason, we're talking about one of the best offenses in the NFL. And I think that is a little too far to go with it there. It's like, hey, there's going to be adversity. Teams are going to adjust to what they start to do and what they start to put on tape. And there's going to be more back and forth there. But the fact that they were able to do this at all, like you said, if they weren't doing this, we'd be talking about how bad they were. If they were three and outing all through preseason, that would be the story, and we'd be like, well, this is good, this is looking bad. But for the success that they've had, I think it's a sign that there's a potential for them to have a really big upside this season, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and there's one thing we didn't see in the first two preseason games that we were able to see against the Falcons on Thursday night, it was the running game. And I know some big plays got them down close, but you saw Jalen Warren punch one in on a nice, tough run. Mm-hmm. You saw Najee Harris, too, and you saw Anthony McFarland do it, too. So that was the one thing that we didn't see. Everyone was like, okay, you're supposed to be a running team, but we haven't seen the running game in the first two games. I think we saw enough of that, and I really like the way those running backs ran hard, ran tough. Got the tough inside yards, and that's what you're going to have to do if you're going to be a successful offense this season.
Absolutely. And part of being a successful offense is having a successful offensive line. And the Steelers got rid of one of their offensive linemen via trade on Sunday. We'll talk about the trade departure of Kevin Dotson, what the draft capital was that they got back for it, and what it means for the Steelers moving forward. We'll also have Ray's final 53-man roster prediction as cuts are ahead this Tuesday on August 29th. All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo. But first, before we do anything else, I want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. And again, when I tell you that they're my favorite bar in Pittsburgh, they are my favorite bar in Pittsburgh. Just go to the North Shore and you'll see what I'm talking about. When you walk in there, I'm a guy who likes variety, and that's what Mike's brings with their beer selection of over 500 available beers. And I mean 500 available beers. There's that many there. 300 of them are local beers, and 80 of those are different local craft beers that you can get on tap at any point in time. You can also get a flight to try out every option that you could dream of. And trust me, you won't run out of favorites, because I never do. And I'm always at Mike's checking out the new beers that they have in stock. And if you want to try some great food there too, you could do that with their steak on a stone option, where you can get a steak of your choice. They'll bring it out on a heated stone and it'll heat right in front of you. You cut a piece off, press it into the stone, and then you can get a steak, whether you like it rare, medium well, whatever you like your steak to be cut by. Don't cook it well, then you crazy. But if you're enjoying steak, there's no better place to do that than at Mike's Beer Bar, where you're doing that and you're enjoying a choice selection of beers, along with a lot of other great food options. And again, with over 20 televisions to enjoy whatever sport is on that night. So come to Mike's Beer Bar in the North Shore and get your sports fix and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you go, tell them that Chris sent you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter with Ray Fittipaldo talking all things Pittsburgh Steelers this Monday morning. Now, Ray, we got to talk about the big news that came out Sunday night, and it was that Omar Khan and the Steelers made a move, but not to acquire a player, but to acquire draft capital, and that was to move Kevin Dotson. They traded him to the Los Angeles Rams, so he's going out to the West Coast there. And what they did was they didn't necessarily pick up new draft picks. They swapped two draft picks with the Rams. They swapped in 2024. The Steelers get the Rams' fourth round pick while they give them their fifth round pick. And then 2025, the Steelers get the Rams' fifth round pick and they give the Rams their sixth round pick. So essentially what they did to get rid of Kevin Dotson, they basically turned a fifth round pick into a fourth round pick this upcoming draft, and then a sixth round pick into a fifth round pick. So they've doubled up on those rounds over the next couple seasons here. Ray, did this move make a whole lot of sense to you? Because, you know, in your roster projection that we'll get to here in a bit, you had Kevin Dotson on your final 53, and Kendrick Green is a guy that wouldn't be there. We'll get to the Kendrick Green aspect of this, but do you think that this is going to limit their flexibility in the backups that they have on the interior offensive line?
No, I think quite the opposite, because one of the reasons Kevin Dotson lost value is because when he's not a starter, he's not really a guy that you're going to address on game days. He only plays guard. And as you know, Chris, when Nate Herbig is healthy, and that's another aspect of this deal that we should touch on, it seems like that injury isn't going to linger for the next 2 weeks. He should be good to go if they made this move. Then there's just not a lot of value in keeping Kevin Dotson on your roster. Herbig is going to be the top backup at guard or center. You have Broderick Jones who will be the swing tackle. And then, you know, we could sit here and we could dissect who's going to be 8 and 9. But, you know, right now, I think this is good news for guys like Spencer Anderson, perhaps Dylan Cook, perhaps Ryan McCollum. So they did lose a guy with experience. He started all 17 games last season. But to be honest with you, Chris, when this Steelers offensive line is healthy, the starters, Kevin Dotson just didn't have much of a role on game days.
Yeah, I agree. And again, finding draft capital here, and even though it's not necessarily getting – more picks added. It's improving their picks over the next two seasons. You know, and with the Rams, I don't know what you rate. I don't expect the Rams to be that good this year, just the way that they're built and the way that they're in the NFC West. I could totally see that being a pretty high fourth round pick and maybe even an early pick on day three of the draft. So that could be a boost. And then again, you still have your own natural fourth round pick, I believe, still for that season. So, you know, that there's some draft capital that they're getting there. And I think it's another sign that Omar Khan and Andy Weidel as a front office, they are okay making moves and not being not just kind of staying stagnant with who they have, trying to find extra capital to an extra room to make the moves that they need to make. And I think it's interesting to see that they're saying, hey, instead of Kevin Dotson keeping around, because this was his fourth year, after this year, he was going to be a free agent unless they re-signed him. And as you were pointing out, I don't think they would re-sign him if he was a backup guard, unless it was for dirt cheap. So instead of, you know, just naturally losing him to free agency, getting actual draft compensation for him, I think there's a savvy move on their part.
Yeah, there's a small financial aspect to it as well, Chris. He was due $3 million this year. So, you know, when you take into account the roster displacement, you know, you're basically picking up about $2 million in salary cap. Now, the Steelers don't need it, but it's always nice to have that cushion going into the regular season and then, of course, carrying it over if need be. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Kevin Dotson. I assume if the Rams traded for him, they're going to have him be a starter. So that's good news for Kevin Dotson. He was a good pro here. But again, you sort of saw the writing on the wall when they got Nate Herbig early. Then when they go out and get Isaac Seumalo about a week later, they're just basically, acquiring better players over him. And you knew his time eventually was going to be up with the Steelers. So it's good for Kevin Dotson that, you know, he'll remain as a starter likely, and we'll see what happens with the Steelers. But I think the Steelers are well positioned with their depth. Those guys will be taking his place, will be younger, less experienced, but obviously the Steelers like them or they wouldn't have made this move.
No, I agree with that there. And you even pointed out, you know, when we got into OTAs and minicamp, and when we started to talk to the Steelers, when we talked to Kevin Dotson, you know, he's told the media himself, like, hey, like when they acquired Herbig, he was told like, hey, he's fine. That's not about him. But when they acquired Seumalo, there was nothing said to him. It was just like a note like, oh, no, that is his replacement. And there was no camp battle for that. It was just, that's Isaac Seumalo's job now. But you see the results, Ray. I mean, in the blocking that we've seen, Isaac Seumalo adds an extra dimension to the Steelers offensive line that we haven't seen over the past few years.
Yeah. And listen, Kevin Dotson's specialty coming into the league was supposed to be as a run blocker. You know, he's been okay in that regard, but he's not Isaac Seumalo. I know you've seen the cut-ups on social media of what Seumalo's been doing. Especially Thursday night against the Falcons. He's just a really, really good football player, and he's going to elevate the play of guys around him as well. And, you know, that's the thing. Kevin Dotson, I think, was and is like a replacement-level player. But when you go out and get a guy like Seumalo, he's just going to not only make you better at the left guard position, but he's going to make you better at center. He's going to make you better at left tackle as well. So there's a big domino effect there. There's a reason they're paying him $8 million a year. And if he can stay healthy, it's going to be a great addition for the Steelers.
I hear you on that. I want to talk more about your roster projection here in a second here, because I also want to hear how this trade impacts your decisions here as far as how you see the final Steelers 53-man roster gets decided. And that happens again tomorrow, Tuesday, August 29th, when all NFL teams have to submit their official 53-man rosters, at least to start the season here. We'll get to that here in a minute on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you that this show is also brought to you by Savinus Kane & Gallucci, mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane & Gallucci. And also brought to you by GameTime.co. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. And that's where GameTime is an app that you can download right to your phone to give you an easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. GameTime gives you killer deals on last-minute tickets with a best price guarantee that can't be beat, so that you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you're about to have. Again, download the GameTime app right to your phone, and it allows you to book tickets even up to the last minute with exclusive flash deals for all different events, whether there's football games, basketball games, baseball games, concerts, comedy, theater, anything near you, Game Time is most likely going to help you with. And their best price guarantee is, it means simply this: if you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. That's a significant fat factor there for their best price guarantee. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, breaking things down here on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ray, want to get to your 53-man roster projection and talk about maybe some of the differences that you've changed now that we're through preseason and training camp and we have a better idea of what the Steelers are actually going to do. But before we get into some of the bigger changes, I want to hear, so you picked here on your final projection here, and this was released before Sunday night, so there's no way that you could have known about the Kevin Dotson trade, but you had nine offensive linemen: Dan Moore, Isaac Seumalo, Mason Cole, James Daniels, Chukwuma Okorafor, Broderick Jones, Nate Herbig, Kevin Dotson, and Spencer Anderson. With Kevin Dotson being out of that mix, do you still see it being nine guys? And if there's nine, who is that ninth guy? Is it Green, McCollum, or Cook?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting decision. I think they could go with eight now, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go with nine. You just mentioned the top seven, starting five, and then, of course, Broderick Jones and Nate Herbig are your lock top seven right there. After that, you know, it does get interesting. And I think for the Steelers, when you're not only talking about your 53-man roster, but your 46-man game day roster, you got to get comfortable with who your number three center is. So is that a guy like Spencer Anderson who's going to be – well, let's face it, he took snaps to center late in camp. I want to say the first two, 3 weeks, he didn't take any snaps at all, but he did late in camp. So is he your number three, or is Ryan McCollum going to be your number three? And do you go with that guy? I think Anderson's probably on the 53, but do you try to sneak McCollum onto the practice squad and just sort of stash him there as your number three? So that's really what we're looking at here, sort of like number three center, number three guard, number three tackle. You know, the nice thing about Anderson, quite honestly, is he could be all three of those guys. He could be your third string center, he could be your third string guard, and he could be your third string tackle. So I know that's a lot to put on a rookie, but it's also the reason why he's so attractive to the Steelers.
I hear you on that. I wonder if Kendrick Green will get this spot, because they threw him in with the first team offense in the early part of that Falcons game, just playing right guard. And I was like, wait, what? 53's out there? It kind of caught me off guard because I was at home watching on television. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? And I wonder, I mean, they've been trying to make Kendrick Green a thing because I know they appreciate his athleticism with his ability to kind of, when he gets on the run, he gets on the run. And there is athleticism there, but it just hasn't manifested at center. Maybe the ideal spot for him is just not having to snap the ball and playing his natural college position that he played at Illinois.
Yeah, and he, you know, I did watch him closely in that Falcons game. He did play better.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the reasons he struggles a lot at center is sometimes when you're snapping, it's hard to get your arms up in pass protection when there's a, you know, 320-pound nose guard who's right on top of you. So, you know, I think that was part of the issue. He did look more comfortable at least in pass protection as a guard. So, yeah, I mean, Chris, if they can get comfortable with that, doesn't necessarily have to dress on game days, but he could be your number three guard. He could be your fullback if you really wanted to hammer some people. Maybe he only dresses for certain games. Maybe he's part of a package where you use him. But, yeah, I do think with Kevin Dotson's departure, the odds did increase that Kendrick Green could make this roster. I'm not 100% convinced that he will, but it certainly opened the door for him more than it was before.
Ray, one of the changes I noticed right away with your roster projection, in your initial roster projection, you had just two running backs with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. This time you've added Anthony McFarland here. What was the change that you kind of made to make space for a third running back here? Because you also kept all four tight ends with Freiermuth, Gentry, Washington, and Hayward.
Yeah, it was basically just having one fewer defensive back and then one more running back. And then, of course, you know, Chris, with the 53 that they're going to announce on Tuesday, that will not be their 53 that
right.
they take into
it
the
It always
season.
Changes. So
there's probably going to be another trade. There's probably going to be two or three waiver wire pickups. So, yeah, they will juggle that that roster from Tuesday, quite honestly, all the way up until the next Friday. You know, they'll have about 7 to 10 days to sort of, you know, play with that. So, you know, I'm not 100% convinced that McFarland's going to be on this team. I thought it was really interesting that Hayward got a bunch of carries in that game as well. That kind of went back to my original point of only having two running backs on the roster. But that was just like, hey, if you want to be traditional and you want to go with three running backs and you don't want to take that risk going into the season, I think McFarland, at the very least, earned being the number three running back on this team. We'll see what happens Tuesday and whether they believe he's earned the right to be on the 53-man roster.
I hear you on that. What are some other big changes that you had here, or just things that you kind of changed your mind on with how they're going to use the rest of their spots on this roster?
Yeah, I mean, just James Pierre. I don't think he played well enough to be on this 53-man roster throughout the preseason. I understand that he does bring some value on special teams, but I think there's also a need to have a quality number four corner on this roster come the regular season. Because if, quite honestly, Chris, if they have an injury to either Joey Porter Jr., Patrick Peterson, or Levi Wallace, it's going to put a big stress on your secondary and what you can do as a defensive coaching staff. So I don't know if that's going to come via a trade. I don't know if they could upgrade via the waiver wire, but I just thought it was below the line this summer for James Pierre. He's been here for a while. You kind of know who he is, what he brings to the secondary, and I just think they could upgrade there.
I hear you on that. Looking around here, on the defensive line, you have Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, Keanu Benton, Isaiah Loudermilk, DeMarvin Leal. All those are standard guys. Montrevious Adams also, but you have Armin Watts over Braden Fajoco. Has Fajoco not done enough for you to suggest that he might be their last off defensive lineman that they pick here? Because again, I think that he brings the oomph when they come to run stuffing power. And I think in a way that some of these other guys don't, but Armin Watts does maybe offer you a little bit more flexibility if you wanted to move him around.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, just the versatility. And the reason I didn't go with Fajoco, quite honestly, they could keep him on the team. I just didn't see him take a lot of reps with the ones in practice or in games. I mean, they were few and far between. So usually you like to get a guy like that out there with guys he's going to be playing with, and I just didn't really see a lot of that here this summer. The one interesting thing that I'll bring up, and I don't know if this is going to play into it or not, but Kevin Dotson was a Colbert draft pick. Isaiah Loudermilk was a Colbert draft pick. Could they be trying to deal a guy like Loudermilk? And then if they do, could you get more draft capital in return? And then, of course, you could keep Fajoco, Watts, and Adams. You know, you could certainly do that. Or could you trade a guy like Montrevious Adams, another Colbert era acquisition. They signed him off the Saints practice squad late in the 2021 season. So I just keep going back to these Con Weidel guys versus these Colbert guys. And I think slowly but surely you're seeing the Colbert guys moved off the roster in favor of some guys, the draft picks and the free agents that Andy Weidel wants on this football team.
And of course, not all the Colbert guys, because, you know, TJ Watt and Alex Eisman, those guys are pretty good. But
the fringe guys.
Yeah. Right. But the fringe guys, the guy like you're pointing out here, these are guys who don't necessarily have a long-term spot on the roster. They're the guys that they're trying to see, hey, can we improve this roster by improving these positions and where they are in the depth chart here? I do think it's interesting that they've moved on from quite a few of them already, and it's only been a year. So certainly seen that. We've seen a lot of preseason hype from what the Steelers have done. They will be back in practice this week. We'll have our reporters on the scene there, so follow all of their great coverage at post-gazette.com. To keep up with all things Steelers practices as they get ready for the season opener against the San Francisco 49ers, I believe on September 10th, the first home opener the Steelers have had since 2014 when they hosted the Cleveland Browns. He's Ray Fittipaldo. Find him, his work at post-gazette.com. Ray, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you all for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast, a Monday episode here. Remember, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as the daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Sports Department. We'll be back Wednesday with another episode here from the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.